Last night I watched a movie called The House by the Edge of the Park. I believe that's the title. It's directed by Ruggero Deodato of Cannibal Holocaust fame and also of Hostel Part 2 fame. He played a cannibal in that, and he's the one who's eating the big guy. He like cuts off a piece of his leg meat, his calf muscle or something. That's Ruggero Deodato. So he's an Italian legend, a horror movie legend. Cannibal Holocaust is just a legendary movie overall. This movie is different, definitely, from Cannibal Holocaust. More straightforward, more kind of in the vein of, to me it was kind of like a Lucio Fulci movie. Not really Argento, maybe a little bit. Argento really dealt with serial killers and really kind of set the framework for giallo, whereas Fulci, he worked in giallo and made movies about killers, but and it's also not Bava, but there's a little bit of Bava. But with Fulci, he dealt with themes of the supernatural. So he dealt with the supernatural, and I think there's some of that in this movie. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe not. Maybe it's just about a killer. Anyway, I didn't finish it. I fell asleep, big surprise, here on Video Nasties. So, it starts off, and there's this pretty girl driving this car, and then there's this kind of creepy guy driving this other car, and then it becomes evident that he's following her. Eventually, he follows her to her house or something, and he gets out of the car, busts into her car, rapes her, and strangles her. Now, the man who perpetrates this is David Hess, David A. Hess, from Last House on the Left. I remember when I saw him, I said, oh, is that the guy from Last House on the Left? And then when I saw his name, top billed in the credits, I knew it was him. He also performs a song that appears on the soundtrack for The Last House on the Left that was also used in Cabin Fever by Eli Roth. So that's another kind of interesting connection. So then it goes to this kind of group of people in this house. I guess it's the house by the edge of the park. And they're all kind of staying there, I guess. I forget exactly what the setup is. And then there's this one woman with this kind of short, masculine haircut. But she's hot. The women are, you know, hot Italian women. And she ends up hooking up with a guy. I don't remember if it's the David Hess character or a different guy. I'm having trouble remembering exactly what happened. I remembered my other I kind of like figured out what my other problem with this, with these movies is. And one of the reasons why I don't always get through them is that it's just, they're coming from a horny time and there's just too much emphasis on sex and nudity. Specifically female nudity. Not that I have a problem with that at all, but I do think there tends to be a little bit too much of an emphasis on it, just in terms of me sitting down and watching it and enjoying it. I don't necessarily want to sit there and watch this movie and be titillated. I want some of that, and I want to be scared too. And this movie does provide, the kills are very important in movies like this. As I discussed on yesterday's episode, The Initiation, I discussed kills, how important they are in slasher movies. Well, they're important in movies like this, too. This isn't a slasher movie per se, although maybe it is kind of a slasher movie with David A. Hess as the slasher. But just in a movie like this, still, the kills are very important. And the first kill was okay. Wasn't anything flashy or bloody. I thought it was kind of like grisly, actually. There was something kind of like realistic about it. And maybe that's Deodato coming from the kind of Cannibal Holocaust realism thing. There's just something grisly about his work. I like more fun, flashy, wild kills. And I didn't see any of that in this, but maybe I just didn't get to that part. So there was that, and then this morning, my cat woke me up very early, and I smoked a little, and I wanted to watch something that would just kind of be light and nothing too intense. I was going to rewatch House by the Edge of the Park to prepare for this, but then I thought, you know what, I don't want to watch that movie right now. I don't want to see a woman get raped and strangled. I just want something lighter. So they have these kind of like Saturday matinee things that they do on the Criterion Channel, and they're basically kids movies. So I kind of went through those and was watching some of those. I watched The Three Musketeers, the Alain Delon one from 1943 or something, not realizing that it was a musical. And lucky for me, dude's singing right off the bat. Right when the movie starts, he's kind of like, I don't know, he's on a bicycle riding through the streets, singing his heart out, and I just thought, nah, I can't do a musical right now. So then I went to the next one, which was called Something Mrs. Something, which is about this sort of like, and the whole movie kind of had this vibe, this sort of like stiff upper lip, 1950s modernity vibe. Everything was kind of like strict, and everyone was expected to sort of like fall in line. That's the vibe that I get from this movie and other movies from the 1950s. I'm not a fan of that time period. I wasn't a big fan of this movie, but it was definitely interesting to watch, and it was definitely kind of good for early this morning when I just needed to kind of zone out and fall asleep. So this woman is a school marm type. She's a school teacher at the local, I guess, elementary school, grammar school, whatever they would have called it then. This movie's from 1955, I think. And I remember as she's walking to school one day, she's giving this guy advice about what kind of fertilizer to use. He's like spraying chemicals all over his yard. I just, you know, you gotta love the 50s sometimes. Sort of like, what the hell were people doing back then? But, right, so then she's in school, and you see her kind of interacting with her students. This one student is asked to stay in class late because he's in trouble. And then she kind of, like, gets sick, like she can't stand up or something. And so he has to go get help, go get the nurse. And then I don't recall what happened after that. I just remember she's kind of, she's not like a Mary Poppins type because she's very strict. She's almost like the opposite of that. And this is also, and you know, she's American. This is an American movie, an American production. 20th Century Fox, perhaps? I'm not sure. Universal? Maybe? No, I don't think so. I think it was maybe 20th Century Fox. Anyway, interesting to watch that. I also want to talk about the music I've been listening to, which, again, I'm getting it from Pitchfork, but they have their new Best New Music album, which is by a band called Mandy Indiana, and it's called I've Seen a Way. And it's sort of experimental, electronic, with like these weird French vocals that almost to me harkened back to Stereolab and that sort of thing. But then even further back to like 1960s, like girl pop, like French music, pop music, like Francois Hardy. Is that her name? And so I kind of like really dug that about it. I thought that there was like a little bit of that in there, but it's sort of like folded into these sort of like crazy synths and these kind of dark industrial sounds and these sort of like dark, almost like Lynchian soundscapes. But then you have these sort of like this female vocal kind of bursting through the mix, this sort of weird French vocal. You have this girl singing in French, and so there's this, so that gives it this kind of unique, kind of strange, interesting quality. It's also, you know, this is also a band called Mandy Indiana, but they're from, I think they're from Manchester, England, so that's sort of an interesting counterpoint as well. So I made it about halfway through the album. I'm still working on that, still listening to that. And that's pretty much it for me. That's pretty much the update. I'm still reading Blindsight by Peter Watts. Still loving it. Just think he's a great writer. Still playing Red Dead Redemption 2. I'm into the second half, which I prefer to the first half. It's kind of cleaner, simpler, more straightforward. And it's also just kind of a man alone thing. Like, I'm this dude. I'm just on my own. And I'm pretending to be this other dude, but now I'm me. And last night I helped out Sadie Adler. We did a mission together with this shooting these guys in this canyon, and it was crazy, and I died a bunch of times, and That's Red Dead Redemption 2. And this is Video Nasties. Thank you for listening. I'll be back soon. See you in hell. Peace. Okay, so even though that was pretty much the end of the episode, I have a little addendum. Just something I want to add to the episode, which is, I just finished listening to the album by Mandy Indiana. It's called I've Seen a Way. It's dope. It just dropped. Check it out. I think my favorite part of the whole album right now is this part that happens at the end of Peach Fuzz, which is, the third to last song. And it gets to this point where the drums kind of kick in with the hi-hat and this sort of disco drum beat is introduced. It comes into it. And along with that, maybe behind that a little bit in the mix, is this kind of weird wobbly synth. And it just had this kind of, like, to me, it sounded a little bit like EDM or even electro pop. And it sort of harkened back to bands like Klaxons and LCD Sound System. And it just sounded really cool to me. And I wanted to shout out that specific part of the album and of that song, Peach Fuzz. Peace. It is windy here. I apologize. It seems I just can't stop talking about this album. So I just want to read you something that Pitchfork said about the album, which is, the Manchester Quartet's debut album fuses dance rhythms, corroded guitars, and seething vocals into a transfixing blend of violence and transcendence. So that's the intro to their review of I've Seen a Way, which they gave an 8.32 and put in their Best New Music section. So the album is a dark, the music is dark, electronic, as I said, industrial, sort of like post Nine Inch Nails music. But there are moments of transcendence, there are moments of beauty, and there are beautiful elements to the music. As it said there, I guess they're from Manchester, but the entire album is in French, as far as I could tell. And the vocals are really kind of like mixed weird and are kind of like low in the mix and kind of like blend in with the instruments. And there's a lot of kind of vocal work and sort of sounds being made as opposed to lyrics being sung. Even though there are lyrics being sung, it's just that they're in French, so I couldn't understand them. Peace.
This has been a production of Reptilian.